Excuse me, hi. My name is Ira Siegel, and our speaker today is Steve Krivisky. His topic is A Tall Tale Comes to Texas, Hank Greenberg and the 1932 Beaumont Explorers. Steve?
Thank you, Ira. Can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Thank you. Don't worry, I won't throw any math equations at you, because, good for you. I came up with this topic because, as some of you know, I always like to do something local to the area where the convention is. And so I kicked around a few ideas, and being as I'm from New York, as Hank Greenberg was, the son of immigrant parents from Romania who settled in New York, I thought this would be an interesting topic, not only because it's local to the area, Beaumont is 2 hours east and I made a trip there in June, but also so much is known about what Greenberg did with the Tigers that I wanted to focus on something that was not as well known. A number of months ago, and this is mentioned in the references at the end, I came across this book about Hank Greenberg, A Hero of Heroes by John Rosengren, which is not that well known because some of you may know there was a previous biography of Greenberg co-written with Ira Burko back in the 80s when Greenberg was still alive. And I came up with a little bit of a song for this that could go something like the following. He hit them far, he hit them wide, deep in the heart of Texas. He hit many a ball onto Avenue A, deep in the heart of Beaumont. Yeah, so I've been taking banjo. Maybe next year in Chicago I'll play something on the banjo for you as an aside. Now, there's a couple of interrelated aspects to this presentation. One, his baseball struggles in getting to where he eventually landed. And then, also just as important, what Greenberg experienced as a Jewish player from New York coming to the South. Now, I gather I ran out of handouts, so if people want to see me later, I could email them to you. Now, a couple of things about the beginning of Greenberg and what led him to where he eventually became a star with the Tigers. His parents in New York wanted him to go to college. You know, he grew up on originally Barrow Street in Greenwich Village, very near where I grew up, so that was of great interest to me. They moved to the Bronx where Greenberg started James Monroe High School. But in some respects, especially as a fielder, he wasn't a natural athlete. The Yankees wanted to sign him, and I think there's an interesting story about that alone. Paul Critchell, whom as you know signed Lou Gehrig, scouted Greenberg, and he took Greenberg to Yankee Stadium in 1929. And then Critchell says to Greenberg, oh, look at that Gehrig, he's all washed up, his numbers were down a little bit. Most people would kill for Gehrig's 1929 numbers. But Greenberg drew a different conclusion, that Gehrig still had a lot of juice left in him, and as you know, he was strong through most of the 30s. In an age of great first baseman, Jimmy Fox is one of my favorites, Hal Trosky and other people. So Jean Dubuc, who had been a pitcher himself, who was scouting for the Tigers, ended up signing Greenberg for Detroit because Greenberg foresaw that he'd be stuck behind Gehrig and wouldn't get a chance to play. And I think that was a good decision on Greenberg's part. However, Greenberg had a rocky road, which took him through a number of minor league stops. He had sort of a cup of coffee with the 1930 Tigers, and then he made minor league stops in places like Raleigh, North Carolina, Evansville, Indiana, Hartford, Connecticut, my neck of the woods. I see some of my Connecticut buddies here, among others. And then he ended up in Beaumont in the Texas League. And my visit to Beaumont in June, a couple of hours east of here, was very fruitful. I got a lot of help in terms of research. And it's not only a matter of what his baseball accomplishments were, but also, as I'll talk about later, what he had to deal with as a Jewish player facing anti-Semitism in the South. And I'll highlight certain things in this handout. It was of interest to go through box scores of the Beaumont Enterprise and the Beaumont Journal to find box scores and interesting stories. I got a chance to see the area where Stewart Stadium was in Beaumont. It's now home plate is based in this parking lot in an area of Beaumont called South Park, where the stadium was. And the reference in my song to Avenue A, of course, to some of you New Yorkers know there's an Avenue A there too, was that Avenue A was one of the boundaries of the stadium in South Park. And when Greenberg came up, as I found out recently, the fans would start to chant, "Avenue A, hit it onto Avenue A," and Greenberg more than not obliged them. Now, Greenberg had to work really hard to overcome some of his fielding weaknesses, and he evidently had a temper, and the Tigers often tried to cut his salary. As you know, they didn't make much money in those days, and of course, the Depression was going on. And so Greenberg had what turned out to be a breakout season with Beaumont in the Texas League. Beaumont had been in the Texas League for quite a while. Carl Hubble pitched there in 1928. And in those days, there were teams in Houston, Shreveport, Dallas, Tyler, and other places. Dizzy Dean was in that league, Joe Medwick, and, you know, before those guys were promoted to the Cardinals. And one of the anecdotes that's in this book is that one of Greenberg's teammates, JoJo White, who later played with the Tigers with him, walked around him, sort of sizing him up, and Greenberg was curious about why was he doing that. And after JoJo White completed his circuit, then he basically said to Greenberg, "Why, you look like just about everybody else, aside from the fact that Greenberg was tall." Because in those days, there weren't that many Jewish players, and so Greenberg had to deal with anti-Semitism and things of that nature. One of the things that really helped me in this presentation, aside from the stats itself, was that I had a chance to meet with someone named Charlie Weinbaum Jr., who's going to be 88 years old in November. He told me about how when he was 6 years old in 1932, his dad took him to Stewart Stadium in that South Park area, and he watched Greenberg play, and that was when he recounted to me how the fans would chant, "Avenue A, Avenue A," and Greenberg hit many a home run there. And so I think that was interesting to know, because Greenberg did find acceptance in the Jewish community there. You might think that, well, Beaumont being a lot smaller than Houston, you might not have expected there to be a Jewish community there. However, there was an oil boom evidently in that area in the early 20th century, which brought a lot of people to Beaumont in general, and Jews to Beaumont in particular. So what Greenberg found was that there was a Jewish community there that was very accepting of him, and that they even viewed him as a hero. I got to pass this Temple Emmanuel in Beaumont, and Greenberg did go to services there. Members of the Jewish community invited Greenberg over for dinner and things of that nature. So he was able to observe the holidays and things of that nature. And as some of you may know, when he was established with the Tigers, He had to face the decision of playing on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Jewish holidays, and that's a story for another day when he was more established. So Greenberg therefore did find support in the Jewish community of Beaumont. Beaumont is like southeastern Texas. It's near Port Arthur and also near the Louisiana border. And what Charlie Weinbaum Jr. also told me was, aside from Greenberg's acceptance in the Jewish community, which really helped him, that was in fact the largest Jewish community in that area, even extending into Louisiana. So that helped Greenberg accomplish what he did in his breakout season in 1932. Also, as part of the sort of statistical aspect of looking at these box scores, I realize it's kind of small to see up there. If you have the handout, it'll be interesting for you to think about who were some of his teammates. 1932, Del Baker was managing the Beaumont exporters. Sometimes they were called the shippers. And Baker was also Greenberg's manager later on in Detroit. So that was an interesting thing that must have helped Greenberg, that the same manager he played for in 1932 also managed him, particularly in 1940 when Greenberg won his second MVP award. Other teammates of Greenberg in 1932 included Paul Easterling, who was in the minor leagues for a long time. Greenberg hit 39 home runs, Easterling hit 36. Schoolboy Rowe won 19 games on that team, and of course Rowe went up to the Tigers along with Greenberg. Luke Hamlin won 20 games. He made the majors later on. A number of people on the Beaumont team later on surfaced on the Tigers, and I've got a picture like there was sort of a reunion in 1940. Now, Beaumont and Greenberg got off to a slow start in 1932, but in May they really caught fire. In those days, in a lot of the minor leagues, there was a first half and a second half. So Beaumont won the first half championship. Dallas finished narrowly ahead of them for the second half championship. But Beaumont really picked up steam as the season went on. And so I was interested to see different box scores, not only in terms of what Greenberg did, but also facing people like Medwick on the Houston Buffs, who went on, of course, to the Cardinals, and other famous players on other teams. And Beaumont ended up having a very strong season. It also turned out that later on, after Greenberg was on the Tigers, that Beaumont had some other Tiger players like Rudy York, who ended up with the Tigers as well. So that was a pretty good period for Beaumont as a Texas League team, especially in 1932. This cartoon over here that you can see up there, that's one of my favorites out of all the research that I did. Not only did I have access to the newspapers, but there was also a master's thesis that I referenced at the end that talked about Beaumont and the baseball team, especially from 1929 to 1940. The point of this cartoon is that the train is the Beaumont team that was sort of whipping through the Texas League that year, and that other teams like Fort Worth and Houston, who'd gotten off to good starts, were falling by the wayside. And this sort of relates to the session that Joanne Hulbert convened yesterday on baseball and the arts, about how cartoons and graphics can really enhance people's perception of baseball and what was going on at the time. So I'm very fond of this cartoon in particular that illustrates how Beaumont and Greenberg really picked up steam and tore through the league. And anytime I could find a headline like that, where Greenberg hit a home run to do something special, was of great interest to me. And so I definitely paid attention to that. You might notice, for those of you who have a handout, that on the left-hand side, that you can see the standings not only of the Texas League, but also of the major leagues. And it's sort of like, if any of you remember the old Sporting News that had the standings of all the teams and all the leagues and stuff of that nature. And due to, I know Christine Fry is here, she got me interested in the minor leagues many years ago, and so I think there's a lot to be learned from that minor league experience. Because what Greenberg accomplished in 1932 paved the way for his eventual success with the Tigers, and yet there was so little done really about what Greenberg accomplished. Now, what ended up happening as you progress through the season is that Beaumont was getting ready for the Texas League playoffs because they won the first half, Dallas narrowly won the second half. And one of the other things that caught my attention will be these next two slides, where area businesses and the community foresaw that Beaumont would have to beat Dallas to win the Texas League championship. And that's exactly what happened. And Greenberg played a substantial role in those playoffs, leading Beaumont to the Texas League championship, and therefore also winning that pennant. Now, that also led them to advance to the Dixie World Series against the Southern Association. Although they didn't win that, you know, this was one of the best teams that Beaumont ever had. What you now see over here, something I referenced earlier, is Stewart, the Beaumont owner, is posing with several players in 1940 who had played for Beaumont earlier on. Greenberg is in the second row and the second from the left. So I thought that was of interest because since that also coincided with a successful period for the Tigers. Any Tiger fans in here? A bunch of you. All right, good. I have to admit I was rooting for you against the Red Sox in the playoffs last year. Sorry to Sox fans. Sorry, Ty. Okay, so I think that this is sort of a good summation of the success that Beaumont had in promoting people to the Tigers, and that the Tigers were very strong in that period. All right, so at this point I enclose some references for you. I enjoyed doing this, but to learn more about Greenberg, what did he accomplish, and again, it was in terms of my being in Beaumont with the help I got and learning about the Jewish community and the support that Greenberg got. And I could definitely see how his accomplishments with Greenberg and Beaumont earned him his promotion to the Tigers in 33, and you know the rest because he went on to a Hall of Fame career. Okay, I think at this point I'm going to stop, and with the time left, I'd love to entertain any questions, comments, and if any of you are from that area, Beaumont in particular, or who know that Texas League background, love to hear from you. So please speak up, and I won't throw any equations at you. So comments, questions, anybody, you're welcome to it.
Question.
Please. I think the Texas League at that time was something like Class A, because in the old days you had like Double A, Triple A, Single A. The Texas League at that time was either A or Double A. It was a strong minor league, but it wasn't quite at the top level. Anybody else, please?
Good. Dixie? What were his basic final stats for that season?
Yeah, he had, I've got some of this in front of me. BaseballReference.com, which is I've also listed here, does have some minor league stats. So what ended up happening was, let's see, right over here. So Greenberg had 600 at-bats. He scored like 131 runs, 39 homers, 131 RBIs, 290 batting average, 573 slugging average, 344 total bases. So, not a bad year's work.
Did he lead the league in home runs and RBI, or did someone else put that?
He led in home runs with 39. Paul Easterling had 36, and I think he did also lead the league in RBIs. Yes, Mark, go ahead.
Steve, you said something about Greenberg being, was invited into Jewish homes and all that. How important was it to him? I know I've read where it was important, but I almost wonder if it was important because he knew he had to put up, because he was Jewish, he had to put up a little bit of a facade to show that it was important to him. Have you done any research into that as well?
Well, good question. This book here talks about that. I think Greenberg was fairly observant, maybe not as strictly so as his parents. But I think aside from him wanting to keep up with some of the religious practices, I think one of the main ideas of the presentation is that by having support in the Jewish community, which was bigger in Beaumont than you might have otherwise thought, he had a base of support so that he wasn't isolated, and that this person I talked to, Charlie Weinbaum Jr., said that the Jewish community viewed him as a hero. So I think that that really made a difference for him, as opposed to New York or Detroit, the bigger cities where Jewish communities were much bigger. I don't know if that answered your question. Yeah, continue.
I live in Los Angeles, and 1983-1984, we had a meeting, and Greenberg came to it, and there were only about 15-20 people there. And the first thing he said, I never do this, because he was, he didn't like the idea of people chasing him for autographs and all that. He says, but when I learned what Sega was, I said, okay, I'll come. And we had a very nice visit with him, Q&A, and somebody asked him, says, what was the your most important achievement that you remember? And he says, oh, there were lots of them. He says, but that isn't what you remember. You remember your failure. And he says, I still wake up almost sometimes with nightmares about this, and he described what it was in the sixth game of the 1934 World Series. The Tigers were ahead 3-2, and they just had to win the game, and Dabney was pitching. And there was a play where, I forget who it was, but somebody was spiked at third base, No, this is the seventh game. This is the sixth game. And so there was a delay in the game, and Greenberg says, I'm thinking to myself, this kid is 19 years old, his rhythm has been disrupted, and the first thing he's going to do when the game resumes is he's going to throw me a fastball right down the middle of the plate. And he says, sure enough, the game resumed. Daphne did just that. He said he just stood there and watched it go by. And on the next pitch, he popped out. That was the end of the inning. The Cardinals won the game. They won the game, 11-0 or whatever it was the next day. And he said, that's what I remember. And I still wake up in the middle of the night wondering why I didn't swing.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
One more question. Apropos your comments about the Jewish community in Beaumont, surprisingly, Galveston was one of the major ports of entry for Jewish immigrants. And we think New York, of course, even Charleston. Galveston was a significant port as well, and that's why there's a very large Jewish community down there.
Okay, so you're talking about Galveston's role as well? If I'm understanding you, you were talking about Galveston, you just said?
Right, as a port of entry.
Yes.
Of course, they settled in that general area, including Beaumont.
Well, I appreciate that. That could be something for further research, that what was the role of other towns besides Beaumont, and what was the role of Galveston and other towns?
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.